If what's going to happen wasn't so comical, I'd think it tragic.
She's there in her space, with no one to hold her down. And when she leaves only the trace of a print in this sandbox town.
You are listening to the League Podcast, episode 324. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
And Happy New Year. We're back. It's, I don't know if we have any listeners not on the, you know, not in the Boston area. I don't know if we have any listeners, but it's been cold.
And, like, shitty, snowy. Like,
yeah, we had snow on Thursday, and so, and then it got, like, yesterday, I think, was, I don't know if it was a record cold, but it probably was.
You guys are lucky you don't have a car to deal with.
That's true, we don't have a car.
We have a car, and we don't have a parking spot, so I had to shovel one.
Oh, that's the worst. And then, like, if you move the car, someone can just take the spot that you...
We got a space saver out there.
Oh, that's not legal.
But it's, I mean, it's the
I mean, I don't care.
It's the code of the neighborhood.
Right, everybody does
it. You know what I mean? It's like, whether or not it's on the books is legal. Like, I guess someone could just steal our spot, but...
I mean, they could, but it's a dick move to do that,
A motherfucker's going to get cut if he does that.
What do you have out there, like a cone or a...
That's the code of the street, you know what I mean?
No, right. Oh, I know the code. I know the code of the street.
Yeah, I don't care about what the popo was up to.
You know, cut the motherfucker. What do you got? What do you got as a saver?
I'm glad that you asked.
A long box. You put a box.
I put a soft long box out there with all of my G.I. Joe comics in it that I've been collecting my entire life.
Right. Yeah. I figured.
Well, they're in plastic bags.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, half of them are in plastic bags.
Half of them.
I use this thing and I like this thing, but if it were to get crushed by a snowplow, I'll just get another one. I have one of these little like carts so I could bring my laundry to the laundromat.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I'm just hoping it doesn't rust too bad or it doesn't get squished. But if it does get squished and it was for the sacrifice of having Stacy have a parking spot out there, that's totally fine.
Sacrificing of the laundry.
That would just be a parking ticket.
One? Like metal?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like the old ladies and the hobos use. You know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. The old ladies know.
And I really had like, I realized that it really does look like I have like extra bags and old, ripped, used, broken laundry bags in the bottom of it.
So you
and
do
like,
look like
and like plastic bags. So like usually like my laundry's on top of it in like a nice bag, but like if I were to leave it outside of the laundry pad, no one would fuck with it because it's just like, oh, some hobo left there.
Do you have your cans in the... Maybe,
yeah, I have the cans, there? Like, kind of hanging off in CVS bags off the side.
It's good. It's nice. You know what I do? This is strange. I feel... So if I drink cans of anything, I put them in a separate bag and leave them out there for the hobos.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I'm helping the hobos.
I know that someone is going to go through our... We have those, like... Do you have like single stream like blue?
Yeah, those big blue bins. Yeah,
I just put them in there because I know someone's gonna go through.
I know. I mean, but I want to save them the effort. I just put them on top. I put it on top of the blue bin, so when they come by, they'll be like, "Oh, here's a bag of cans right there," and they don't have to go through the thing. Because also, I've seen happen. I don't know if our regular hobo does this, but one of them. Like opened the bin and then threw all the shit everywhere. Like, so there was crap all over the street because he had to go through the bin and and I think one time he even tipped it over. Like it was dumped over.
I'm used to the, my neighborhood is I'm used to like the pro. There's always
pro
like
a, hobo.
They might not even be a hobo. They're just like I go through. I have like tools. I've got like a stick with a hook on the end of it.
Pick the cans out.
And I've got maybe a one of those like medical masks on, and some gloves. And I'm a pro, and I'm getting every can on.
That's good.
The street. Those are the people I'm dealing with.
Well, that's awesome. I like that. Because you know what, too? One time, I think I swear, I left my bag of cans out there and, like, just one regular person ended up.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're, like, paying off their student loan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. As long as they get recycled. I just don't want to get thrown. I'm a recycling nut.
You are a recycling nut.
I'm a recycling nut.
Always said that about you. Wasn't that I don't want to cross the streams here, but what was the thing on Curb where like he threw like an apple core in somebody else's trash can?
Ted Danson. Yeah, Ted Danson did that. And then the guy like beat him.
Yeah.
Larry did it. Okay, what happened was Larry threw the apple core in the guy's trash and the guy got mad at him. He's like, what's the difference? It's just trash. I was like, well, that's my trash. And blah, blah. So then later in the episode, because Larry had bought Ted Danson a shirt that had a hole in it. And then they ended up fighting over it and ripping the shirt in half, whatever. So Ted Danson's walking and he throws the ripped shirt in the trash and the guy says, hey!
The same guy.
Yeah, same guy. So that was the storyline.
Hey, if you guys like this amazing Curb Your Enthusiasm contest, stay tuned on this feed.
That's right. We got like 10 episodes of Curbcast on there. And we'll probably have more. We'll talk about it.
Hey, maybe people like me, like I don't watch all of the shows that I love when they're on. Maybe they haven't seen the new episode of Curb.
That's true.
And they want to listen to our hashtag Curbcast.
Hashtag Curbcast. There you go. Listen to it.
Give it a listen.
So yeah, well, it's been a while. We've been off.
Holiday.
A couple
break.
Weeks off. Holiday.
Fuck it. You know.
Fuck it. Well, we all, you know. We deserve a break.
I've never had, you know, I work in the music industry. I've never had, and I have like, I have a new job now. So, and they generously give us like 2 weeks off of like not working. And
this is foreign to you, not working.
Yeah. I mean, I do work for the band between Christmas and New Year's every year. So I don't really consider that work. I just consider it part of my, I consider that a part of my holiday celebration. It's not a big deal. It's fun.
All right.
So I guess I'm working, but for a couple of those days, but I basically have 2 whole weeks off, a couple of days of, you know, doing some production stuff. But, I put the old Durson hat on and I just didn't do a damn thing.
The Durson hat.
Yeah, I just,
what is like, I'm a lazy.
No, I just, kind of lazy. I'm not. No, I'm saying the opposite of that. I know that when you come home from work, you're done with work.
That's true.
And,
I do that.
And it's tough for me because my job is a little 24/7 a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what I did was, I said, you know what, I'm going to take a lesson from Durson here. I could work. I could make myself busy with stuff to do, or I could do nothing and enjoy this vacation. So that's
sometimes
exactly what I did.
Yeah, I know. Like, I did nothing. I had the week off between Christmas and New Year's. It actually works out to be like the 23rd through the 2nd or whatever.
Yeah. And,
so,
and well, did you have to go in the snowstorm and stuff?
No, we had that day off. The campus was closed on whatever day that was, the 4th.
But that
so yeah, I had a really short week last week too.
That Friday?
The actual week, yeah, Friday. I took a personal day.
Hey, that's yeah. Fuck it. Why would you go in?
I never take personal days. Actually, that is one thing I will say. And I yes, when I go home from work, I'm done working. But one thing I almost never ever. I don't know why I'm bragging about this, but I never call in sick.
And you take I never vacation, take, though, right?
I take vacation. But I even then I only do that like when it's like we had the wedding or whatever, you know what I mean? Like I don't always take vacation. Like unless I'm actually going on vacation, I don't take like a day off because I need like a mental health day or something. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I never really.
No, you're completely sane.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice, but like, no. But anyway, Friday, there's nothing going on.
Unless you're like really sick, like sick.
Like hospital sick, like I would have to be.
But not like the flu or a cold. You wouldn't take a day off for that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really get the flu. And God.
Yeah,
God
when you get sick, it's like, oh, I'm going to be in the hospital for a couple
days. Yeah, when I get sick, I'm dead.
Yeah. I might die, but, you know,
yeah.
See you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
You take that seriously, too. Like, you take your relaxing time seriously. And when you get sick, you take it really
seriously. I take that all the way.
You take it all the way. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad that you got some days off because I know you never really take days off. And,
yeah, that's the thing. It's so hard.
Glad to hear it, Clay.
So, yeah. Oh, thank you. What a great use of that. Actually,
that time I really am glad.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah. That's why I appreciate it.
But we're back. I hope you read some books.
Took some time to even, you know, I got some comics that you very generously gifted me a comic that
I liked
that I think we should talk about it.
Oh, you want, okay.
Yeah, I mean, just for a second, you gave me Motor Girl from Terry Moore.
Terry Moore's Motor Girl, yes.
And I think I bought the first issue and I was like, I don't know what this is.
We definitely talked about the first issue on this show.
And then, okay, so then it's like, what, it's like 10 issues or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't want to say I called it because it is kind of like a little bit obvious about what's happening with Motor Girl.
Right.
But that didn't infect my enjoyment of the story. It was a super awesome comic. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's pretty quick. I mean, like, I don't know if you obviously.
It was quick. Yeah, I actually did.
Issues, I guess.
I didn't read it all at once. Maybe I read a couple issues at a time. You know, and then like went back to it because I didn't want to like just burn through it. I wanted to like enjoy it. First of all, the art is amazing. That guy.
Well, he has a style.
He's incredible. I mean,
he's been doing it for 25 years or so. So like he really does have it down. Like, you know, it's his thing. He draws women as they are, not like 90s comic book art. You know what I mean? He draws women.
It is actually in his, I don't know if those other comics are like, is Rachel Rising in the same universe?
It's kind of funny. He's starting to stick little things in to each series, like little references to the other.
Cause this one is like almost like a, like a Gloria to All in the Family, like style spin-off. Like there's a character.
Yes.
And then there is. And then the entire story has nothing to do with Strangers in Paradise, but there's a character that's was in only like really an issue or maybe two.
Yeah, right? She was a very small character in Strangers in Paradise. Yeah.
To just tie, it's almost like M. Night Shyamalan. Like there's just this one character
Bruce Willis at the end of the whatever. That's the thing. So like, you know what's funny? It's like this I don't know if it's Marvel who's kind of started this or whatever, but like, yeah, now everybody's kind of doing it, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna stick this character from this other I mean sure it wasn't Marvel, but you know what I mean, like it's kind of neat that it's happening all over the place now. Like M. Night Shyamalan did it, and you know, it's something fun that the fans can go like, oh, look at that, like it's a, you know, it's a thing.
And this
I'm pretty sure there was a girl because he also did Echo.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Echo. I couldn't think of the name of it. But yeah, Echo. Is that... I wonder if there's some sort
There was a character who made an appearance, a very small character, or, you know, from Strangers in Paradise who, like, appeared in Echo. It's pretty cool. Like, it's just...
What about Rachel Rising?
Rachel Rising, I don't remember, actually. That was, like, a different story. It was, you know, it was very supernatural, very weird. There probably is. I could probably look it up.
Yeah, he's there's somebody.
But I'm sure there's one little subtle reference somewhere to, like, probably a Strange in Paradise character in there too. And of course, as you know, Strange in Paradise is coming back.
It's coming back. It's like the X-Files coming back.
It is. Ugh, I don't want to get into that, but yeah. I didn't care for that new episode of the X-Files.
Oh, we haven't watched it yet.
We won't talk about it.
Like a huge fan of Stasius, but I'll watch it. I enjoy X-Files. I liked it when I was growing up, but
I did too.
I'm not like super like
this would be great, and I don't know. I wasn't too.
Anyways, Motor Girl. Very cool, like story of a this girl or woman, you know, like she was in the service and I don't want to spoil anything, but she was in the service, and it's a really good way to look at like PTSD and stuff like that, you know, kind of like some of the issues that the Punisher TV show was getting into a little bit in a way different way. But yeah, like you find out about this gorilla and all these little aliens going bick bick bick. I thought they were cute, and it was very cool. This sci-fi, you know, adventure kind of thing. I definitely don't want to spoil it because I could sixth sense the thing right for everybody right now. But I think people should read it. Thank you so much for giving it to me. It was really great. I loved it.
I'm glad to hear it. But there is a lot going on there, and like you said, I don't think it's like a mystery note so much as like a big reveal what's going on.
Yes
as far as much as it's just like an interesting story on like PTSD and this poor woman, really, like she was a veteran, she had this horrible thing happen to her in the, you know, while she was serving, where, you know, and that's how she comes to be talking to this monkey,
right?
You know, like, you know, whatever, that's in the first issue. I don't even think that's a big spoiler. We know that the monkey real, like, or the gorilla, I should call him a gorilla. I think he's a gorilla. That's not a big reveal. We know that she's talking to him, he's not there.
Yeah,
but it's like there was this thing with this kid and this little stuffed animal gorilla that, like,
and actually that. I mean, this is, these two things are not related, but we're watching like the Peter Capaldi Doctor Who's right now because for some reason we stopped watching it, even though we're like huge Doctor Who fans. We're like, oh, we should get back into it. So we watched all of season 8, and Clara's boyfriend Danny is an ex-soldier, but he's a teacher in the school. Anyways, like a similar thing happens at the end of season 8 of Doctor Who that happens with Motor Girl and the flashbacks to what happens with when she's like in actual combat. And I was like, whoa, like that's kind of cool. Like these two things that are really awesome, like, you know, kind of have like these parallels going on.
Oh, very
intentionally,
cool.
I'm sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because Turnmore is a genius. I'm sure he's had this story like way laid out like a long time ago.
Yeah, actually apparently he had this a long time ago, and he always wanted to do it, kind of a thing, and then he just decided like, all right, now it's time to do Motor Girl. And now I think that was just sort of the lead in. Now it's been 25 years since he started Strange in Paradise, and he's doing a little mini series,
and it'll
Strange
be
in
like
Paradise 25.
You know, like one of the things about Strangers in Paradise, please correct me if I'm wrong because you're the expert, but like, isn't it like in real time, kind of like Savage Dragon is, like it exists, like this story is going to take place in 2018.
Yes, it is. There was some jumping around during the run, but yeah, like as far as everything, yeah, I think it's been 20. Yeah, it's going to be 2018. What are these characters doing now? As far as I know, yeah. But it's really cool. So, okay, there's a lot of things going on here. First of all, I want to talk about one really nice thing that I did. And our friend Jay turned me onto this. So if you subscribe to Strange in Paradise through Terry Moore's website, okay, he'll send you the copy, like, and he'll sign it for you.
Very cool.
If you ask him nicely. Hmm. So that's pretty cool.
So that's have to start. You have to really, like, you have to start there. You have to figure out how to ask for something nicely.
Well, I just sent an email, and his wife actually wrote back. She's like, Terry will be happy to sign it for you.
I was how nice were you? I mean,
I know. I mean, I was just nice. I just said, hey, big fan, really excited. Are you, you know, I heard.
Friend Did you of say mine stuff like, me, don't you know who I am? And stuff like that?
No, I should have played the podcast card there.
Play the curb cast card.
the curb gets even. Yeah. Should have said something, but no, she just wrote back. And said, yeah. Cause I said, my friend told me that if I ask nicely, Terry will sign the things for you.
And yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That was it. Like wrote right back. Said, Terry, be happy to sign them for you. Thanks. And cause I had already pre-ordered it. So I paid him like $65. I'm going to get every issue directly from him.
Very well.
And yeah, he's going to sign them for me.
Very, very.
I mean, he's not gonna write like 2 minutes or whatever, but like,
yeah,
no, it's cool. Also, so I bought the Terry Moore 25th anniversary sketchbook.
Okay.
Hardcover sketchbook.
Hardcover.
So yeah, I've been giving a lot of money to Terry Moore lately.
Well, hey.
So I got the sketchbook. It's really nice. It's hardcover, you know, and it's got all these sketches. And one thing he wrote in there, right, that. He said one thing that since Strange in Paradise ended, which was in, oh God, I don't know, like 2003 or something. He said, maybe later, whatever, somewhere in early 2000s. He said he's added something to any sketches he does of the characters in Strange in Paradise, and they have wedding rings on now.
Oh.
Such a cool little, he's like, nobody's noticed it, nobody said anything, but I've started drawing them with wedding rings.
Nice.
So, of course, if nobody knows, these are like two women. And this was like a long love affair because one of them was like straight.
Yes.
Or whatever, but they were like in love, you know, kind of a thing. So it's won many awards from, you know, LGBTQ, whatever, you know, all the letters that I don't, you know, like they keep
you
adding
did it,
letters.
You did it right.
Okay,
you
good. You know, he's won many awards, but anyway, yeah, so like that's kind of an interesting little wrinkle. I'm very excited to see what happens, see what the story is. And yeah.
That is very well.
Very well. So that's my Strange in Paradise story.
Very cool. Well, I as I said, I did enjoy Motor Girl. Thanks.
I'm glad.
To you. But I also, on my break, I started reading some stuff that I took advantage of. There's like this insane DC sale that like had like all these trades and stuff for like $5 each. I was like, I couldn't pass it up. I got stuff that I'd never read before. Like I got Greg Rucka's New Gotham Batman stories and DC Universe by John Byrne. And
oh, yeah.
Some Brad Meltzer Justice League stuff. I just got all this stuff and I was like, went crazy with this
stuff.
I went crazy with the sale.
You went crazy with stuff. Hey, you like deals.
Yeah, I do like deals. And, like, you know, it's like sometimes I'll, like, be flipping through and I'll be like, oh, I'd like to get that, but I'm not paying fucking $20 for some Batman's for, like, the long Halloween. But if it's $5,
right?
You know, it's the price of a cup of coffee.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? The coffee costs so much.
That is, but still, you know.
But I know what you're saying because No, I agree. I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm not going to pay that much. I'd like to read that, but I'm not going to pay, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And that, what I was really enjoying was Greg Rucka's New Gotham story. I wasn't reading comics back then, and it's kind of like post, you know, like they had the No Man's Land, which they based Dark Knight Rises off of a little bit. So this is kind of like, you could almost like put it in your mind like as it like, oh, this is what happens after Dark Knight Rises, you know? So it's really cool art and everything with it.
Interesting.
Too. There's like a lot of like detective, like Gordon, like GCPD, like figuring out cases with Batman and stuff, which is my favorite kind of Batman.
Speaking of your favorite kind of Batman.
Here we go. Here we go.
You Bring know I was going there.
Put it right at the top.
Are you, I want to go right there. It's, you know,
tell me what you think.
What do I think?
The new double date issue of Batman.
The latest issue of Batman 37. Now, I knew this was going to be trouble, right? Because when I was reading the previous issue, which you also hated.
You don't know I'm going to hate this one. You don't know.
No, I don't. Okay, you're right. I don't know that you're going to hate it.
No, I fucking hated it.
I'm going through, and it says next issue, double date. And I was like, oh, this is going to be.
I fidgeted inside so hard when I saw that. myself.
I knew it, and I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be funny." I think just thinking of your reaction, more of whether or not I would like it, who the hell cares? But
I just opened it up. I have it on my iPad. It was on the last page, which is fucking such a bummer.
I don't even remember the last week. All right, so here's
they're
what
on
happened.
The baseball field, and someone.
Oh, right, right, right.
It says so, Super Friends. Fuck yeah. You. Fuck you.
So they're what they're really trying to play up here is sort of like Superman, Batman. Are they really buddies, and what's really going on? So they go on this double date, Lois and Clark, and Batman and Catwoman, Bruce and Selina, I should say.
Yeah, which Lois and Clark is something I'm very familiar with.
Of course.
Selina and Bruce.
Well, they're
I'm
like
not
a
backing
new,
it, you know? Dude. I'm not still not backing it.
All right, so here's
she's a bad guy.
So they go to a carnival, which is I don't even know who does that, but okay, whatever. It's a comic like book.
A fair, I guess. You know,
if I was gonna like fair. Call you up and be like Clay. Let you and Stacy and me and Rachel, we're all going to go down to the Gotham County Fair.
I mean, I would go.
I know, love it's, those. It's whatever. So they show up and it's superhero night. And mm-hmm. obviously that's the joke because here they are superheroes. And they're...
Oh, but yeah. So what do they do? How do they get out of this little pickle?
Yeah, instead of just going out to a restaurant, they switch costumes because they brought their costumes, right? They all did, except Lois, because Lois is just a journalist. So Superman wears the Batman outfit with the Clark Kent glasses, which is kind of funny. Batman puts on the Superman outfit.
But you got to remember, there's no prescription in those glasses.
Oh, of course. So it's
not
just,
like he puts so, it. It's not like he puts it on and he's like, whoa! Whoa, you You're must right. be really blind.
It's just to sell the disguise. Yeah. Right. So so Bruce Wayne puts on the Superman outfit. I like how they have the debate, you know, because I do like this line when he's like, the S stands for hope. And he's like, the bat stands for bat.
So yeah, that was okay. I'm going to.
Yeah, all right, you'll give
I'm
me that.
Chalk it up. You know that cinema, Cinema Sins? Do you know that YouTube channel?
No, but okay.
They have like, they have Cinema Sins and they have Cinema Wins, which is another guy because he thinks that the Cinema Sins people are like too negative. So they'll like do like these hyper cuts of movies and narrate it and like give a little like a counter. So like Cinema Sins guy is like, you know, like one strike against the Justice League movie is, you know, goes ding, and then one pops up is that, you know, Superman's mustache looks stupid, and then like right. they go through the whole movie. So I'm gonna go Cinema Wins style with this, and give a one for that. I like the bat joke.
You like that joke? Okay.
I like the bat joke.
Did you like Lois in her sexy underwear?
I one of the things I'm not thrilled about is any of the dialogue between the two ladies.
Okay, I don't. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. It does seem a little bit weird. I don't know. I mean, is that how chicks talk sometimes? You know what I mean? I don't know. We had a woman on this podcast, maybe. I mean, I think parts of it I was okay with, and then you're like, oh, but she's like, oh, but the abs or whatever. I'm like, yeah, all right, that's...
Yeah, like, I don't want to sound like I'm fucking, like men's rights activist or something, you know. I just don't like, I don't like the whole concept. So they're right. Those two are throwing me completely off, and it's not like a woman. It's not like Gail Simone wrote this. A guy wrote it,
right?
You know.
Right.
So like, I'm just like, whatever.
So this is a guy interpreting what Catwoman and Lois Lane think of their right. guys.
Yeah,
you know. And,
which
and
is,
I
mean, it's
know.
Fine. Obviously, we just spent like 10 minutes talking about Terry Moore like writing amazing woman characters, like that's
right, it's true, but you know? He's yeah, and I don't know, and but I don't know if, the other thing that gets, it's not even so much, oh, are these women, it's like they seem like it's kind of like they're not like in junior high, you know.
Yes,
these are correct. Adult women,
correct, act.
Although they do ask, Lois does ask, say to Catwoman something about how young she is to be getting married to Bruce Wayne. I thought that was a strange thing to say. I mean, we don't know how old Catwoman is supposed to be, but she's been around for 70 years.
Like, right, right. Well, I guess they're all
Lois is supposed to be either.
I guess you'd all say, like, after rebirth and stuff, they're all in their 30s. They, like, maybe the girls are, like, a little younger.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
They certainly are acting like it. And, like, they're all like, well, let's get ice cream. You know what I mean? Like,
the girls just turned 30. Like, they're not in their 20s. They're in their early 30s. And, like, maybe, like, Batman and Superman are, like, 35.
All right.
I don't know. Sure.
No, that's fine. I'm fine. I'm not really going to make a big thing. It's just funny that they made a reference to they referenced it.
Yes.
So, obviously, in this universe, Lois and Clark are already married.
And they have a kid.
And they have a kid, right. So, I don't know where this kid is. But, anyway. So, like, she's... I don't know. Whatever. And she's, like, this career woman, and I don't know what... Catwoman's, what Selina Kyle, she used to have her own company.
Right.
Does she still, I mean, I don't know what's going on in the new DC continuity, but she used to have like her own shit going on. So who knows? Whatever. Anyways, there's a whole lot of talk between them about like, oh, well,
I do like this, the artwork of Bruce in the Superman costume. There's like a one, just like a big splash page where they're all like walking into the fair. They're like, this could be fun. And Bruce is like, no.
Yeah.
Ding too.
It's hard to distinguish for me anyway, because to me, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne are drawn very similar. It's not.
Yeah, you can't look really at
Superman,
tell.
It looks just like Superman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Though I know it's
and
Bruce
Batman,
Wayne.
And Batman, I mean, he's got the cowl on, so.
Right. So you're like, well, that's Batman, like but that. It's Clark Kent as Batman. But when I look at him, I have to think about, oh, that's actually Bruce Wayne. They could have colored his hair different or something.
I do like how they used to do, they'll sometimes do this in old comic book stories, like where, like, you know, like Clark will have to be Batman, like on the witness stand or something. Right. So that Bruce and Batman can be in the same place at the same time. They have done it before.
Oh, right. Yes. I mean, I kind of like, this is kind of an old school thing. So one thing that's funny is they go through like the tunnel of love or whatever, right? And Clark and Lois are like, oh, that was nice. And then they show the cart or whatever, the little thing that has Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle in it. And she's like straddling him and they're like making out. So I don't know. I mean, it's just.
Chuck,
it's funny, whatever.
Chuck that up for the something I don't like.
That was a sin. That's on the sin. I think it's funny.
I think I'm actually at two wins and one sin.
All right.
So as we go through here.
There's a lot of talk about Superman says he can like strike Batman out. Right? And like it's not even it's you know, that's this competitive thing that they have going.
Yeah.
And Superman is like, there's not even, like, Superman's like, it's not even a chance. Like, I would have to, you know, not throw it.
Yeah, right. I'd have to like, not.
I'd have to throw it like a regular person. Yeah. I guess it's more on the Batman side. Because Bruce Wayne is like, I mean, he would have to make it fair, because if he threw it as hard as he could, the ball would just simply disintegrate or whatever. I don't know. There's all this stupid talk back and forth about it.
That I don't mind.
Okay.
But it's a neutral. It's not a win or a sin. I don't like Catwoman, or is it Lois? Lois has the flask, and they're shooting the shit for this whole page.
I don't remember which one had the... Well, they were sharing it, but I don't know. Right.
They were sharing. It's just when I fall, he catches me. Catwoman says that.
Yeah. That's all that...
Boo.
They have to try. I think they're trying to explain to people like you.
Ding sin. Bye.
Sit. I guess
you're
right.
But that's also... That's Selina saying that, but that's what really Lois would say about Clark, because he can fly and he catches her when she falls out of the building, except for Superman 2, and he just uses his breath. See, I love these guys so much. I love Superman and Batman that this is fucking it up so bad for me. I'm really trying to like it. I really don't.
I don't know, think you're really trying to like it. I think you already don't like it.
I read it.
All right. I'll give you that. You read it. That's a win. It's a win for Clay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you know anything about? We know what we think about it. I think it's fine. This issue wasn't my favorite, but I don't mind that Batman and Catwoman are like together. I think it's fine, but
I'm gonna put something else in the win column.
All right.
Since it's superhero night at Gotham Fair, all the people walking around, like, you know, like they've got Wonder Twin nerd like selling tickets to the thing. But right. There's also like cool cameos, like in the background, like there's somebody walking around like the Question. There's a Green Arrow. There's a Mr. Miracle, because everybody in Gotham is dressed up like a superhero for the day.
That's true.
So it's the perfect place for these guys to hide, which is a great storytelling tool or whatever. That I'm completely with that. The thing I hate so much is the Batman Catwoman relationship, which brings them here anyways. So I don't know. I have so many feelings.
Well, I wonder what the rest of the I haven't read any reviews or anything. I wonder what
I asked,
comic-dom.
I asked Stefan about it yesterday. He's like, "Oh, I like it. I like it's cute. I think people think it's cute." And I don't like cutesy romantic movies. Like this is like
500 Days of Summer.
This is the 500 Days of Batman and Catwoman. To me, and I fucking hate it so much. In defense of that movie, my friend once said to me, "Well, you've never been in love. That's a great movie." He's a big Italian, old Italian guy. The reason you don't like that movie is because you've never felt that way about someone.
Oh man!
And I was like, dude, you need to calm down.
Yeah, it's just a movie. It's just
you need to calm down.
I think it's a funny movie, you know. I can see why it's so frustrating, because Zoe Deschanel is kind of a bitch. Like, she leads him on and sleeps with him, and then but like never makes any kind of move, and then she turns around and gets married,
right?
Like 2 seconds later. So whatever. But
there's aspects of this issue that I like. You know, I like that they're hiding in plain sight. You know, I like the...
Yeah.
I like the art a lot, actually.
The art is good. I agree. And I, you know, I mean, I think there are funny lines, and you're right, the lines about, like, why, but he's so Batman, and she's like, well, he catches me. I mean, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to explain what, to the fans, almost, like, why this is happening. You know, like...
Right.
Why people like maybe there are people like yourself who are like, this isn't Batman. Why is he doing this? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know why. The reason is it's a storytelling thing, and they get to sell a big wedding issue soon.
Right.
You know?
I want them. But this isn't Peter and Mary Jane. You know, like this is she's a bad guy. She's part of the Rogues Gallery. I just don't get it. I really don't. Like, I want them to be beyond this and have rebooted it so this has never happened.
You want another reboot?
Yeah, I want that. I'm going to continue to read. I was a huge fan of the Snyder run. I know Tom King's a great writer. He's written great stuff that I love. I don't really like him on the Batman book, but he's the guy driving the car now, so I have to be along for the ride.
Yeah, I guess it's true. Well, I agree with this is not Peter and Mary Jane. This is Spider-Man and Black Cat. You know, right. Like this is like she was.
Which I also have the same problem with.
I love it. I loved it. It's fun. Well, first of all, they haven't seen. Sorry, what are you gonna say?
I was gonna say like they still keep like the tension of. What's missing is the tension of, like, she's a cat burglar and I'm the guy that catches bad guys.
I agree with you.
That they keep that going. Dan Slott keeps that going in the Spider-Man thing when they're fucking flirting with each other. It's like, oh, I'm so bad. I'm getting in with the Black Cat. Woo! You know, right. Oh, I'm so bad. This guy's really the one that catches me. But then Black Cat goes off and, like, forms the Sinister Six or something. You know, or, like...
Right. I mean, she's definitely a crime lord now. There's not even any... There, at least back in the 80s, there was, like, some moral... Like, she was kind of a cat burglar, but she also fought bad guys with Spider-Man, you know, like, so...
For me, Catwoman...
Yeah, we haven't seen that yet.
For me, Catwoman needs... For the only way that this works for me is... And I feel so stupid that I'm, like, so passionate about this. But the only way that this works for me is if she has, like an Eddie Brock anti-Venom moment where she goes... Or if she, like, renounces being a bad guy at all. You know, it's like, I'm not going to steal anymore. This guy's fucking rich. What do I need to do? Like, I'm not going to be Catwoman anymore. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to join the Bat family, and I'm going to be, like, kind of a good guy. Well, like, that's the only way that this works.
I don't know. Do we need that? To me, she's kind of already there. I don't know why. I don't read her individual book. Did she even have one anymore? I don't know, but, like,
she had a new 52 book, but
yeah, I remember it, and it was fine, but I don't know. I don't
and think she's not in, like, the Birds of Prey or anything, you know, like,
right. I mean, I don't know, but I think it's been a long time since she was a bad guy, you know what I mean? Like,
when they had the Catwoman book and the new 52, they like had, like, the kind of, like, I almost prefer it this way, like, where she was like off, you know, like Robin's and stuff, and they were, like, on a rooftop, and then,
but,
you know,
I think, like, she was, like, robbing the bad guys or something, though. Wasn't she, like, stealing from, like, isn't that kind of her thing, that she robs from the bad guys?
Well, the fact that we don't know is kind of a problem, you know. Yes, what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah, you're like, right. It's like, here's Catwoman. I still feel like it's just, like, a stunt casting. Like, here she is on the cover with Batman.
Well, you're right.
Staring at Lois and Superman, like, okay. Well, like, where is her before the wedding issue, or, like, where's the big conflict where shows her true colors? Kind of thing. It's kind of what I'm waiting for the shoe to drop there, and I don't think it ever will. And that's kind of why I think I have a problem with it.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see. I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. It's true. We haven't seen. I think we're supposed to believe, and I don't know that they're really pushing it enough, that he is sort of turning her to the good side. You know, like Kylo Ren. You know, like,
yes,
like Rey wanted to turn it. She's like, I can turn him. Maybe Bruce Wayne is so pure that he can make...
And I know you don't want to talk about Last Jedi at all, but to your point, I kept thinking, like...
I brought it up.
Are they going to kiss?
I know, like, I did too.
It's like, is this going to be... Because I loved watching girls. I was like, are they going to, like... Now that his shirt's off, are they, like, going to go on to that weird couch and, like, he's going to, like, tear off her, you know, her Jedi robe?
If they had done that, I don't know what
my brain was thought. Just like, am I watching girls right now, or am I watching The Last Jedi?
I was already kind of, you know, fidgeting, and if they had done that, I would have, like,
yeah, you just let out a huge sigh.
The whole theater would have heard my sigh. But I mean, thankfully they didn't, I think that's what we're supposed to believe. I don't know that they've pushed it home enough yet.
I do know that the template for what Tom King wants to do with his Batman, like Scott Snyder's Batman, I thought was, I can't really wrap it up in a little bow, but, like, it's supposed to be a very, like, I don't know if Frank Miller's the right person, or it was just supposed to be, like, a long epic story, and it had, like, reveals about his you know, his origin we didn't know, and he, like, redid the Joker in a cool way, you know, like, right. there was a lot to it, and in a way that I loved. And then I feel like Scott Snyder's influences are different than Tom King's, because Tom King is saying, like, he wants it to be he wants you to read this like almost in like Kevin Conroy's voice. Like his Batman is like animated series Batman. And I could kind of see animated series Batman and animated series Catwoman hooking up and with no explanation. But, you know.
Well, is that what you think? There's no explanation here? I mean, there's, like I said, there's like years and years of continuity that.
Right. Been... No, but like, I feel like if they were to do it on the, if they were, right. If this was an episode of the animated series, like this script could really have been adapted to be like a short, like animated series.
One episode of
One episode. Like I guess,
yeah, that's no, like, especially this particular issue, they're going to the. I don't know.
That's the Batman he's going for. So,
all right. Well, that's the Batman he's going for. If you're either on for the ride or not, like you said.
And I guess I'm on for the ride, but I really want to see her be bad. I guess that's sort of like what I think is like, what I think is sexy about the two of them hooking up, is not them like having pillow talk in the morning. Like,
right, I can see that. There's nothing really that interesting. There's no
balls to it. You know what I mean?
Needs to be a little more bad. I agree.
I guess.
But overall, I will say, I still like because it's different. It's not just Batman solving a crime. You know what I mean? Like, oh well, I think the Riddler is gonna unleash this poison gas on the city. You know what I mean, or whatever.
He does kind of want to do that too. You know, like.
Right, but I mean, at least for a few issues here, however long this goes, we're going to see something a little, you know, at least there's a wrinkle, you know, that we haven't seen, and that's Batman as a engaged man to Catwoman, not to like some damsel in distress that he has to rescue all the time or whatever, and then yeah, she ends up dying.
In that way, you know, I see that they're peers. You know, it's right. Like, that's how they, you know, it's like, that's why people hook up with people from work, you know, like,
right.
I get that. And you know, I don't know. This is how conflicted I am about this. I think I still actually, as much as I thought I was hate reading this book, I still give it a high A.
Like, really?
Yeah. Because the art was so good. Batman Clark moments were so good.
They were all right. I'll give it that.
It
is funny to me the idea that Clark Kent is really vanilla. Like, and they even make that joke, I think, right? In the book.
Yeah, something about, like, they're eating ice cream, I think.
Yeah. And, like, you know, meanwhile, that's what makes the dynamic between Batman and Superman has always been so good, is because, like, and why, like, they even say they're not really friends, like, you know, like, but like,
yeah, it's like we don't really hang out, like, we,
but like Lois is like, you are nobody else, like, you have no other friends. And they even say in this one only Diana would be the only other person who can understand what, you know, like what we are going through.
So, yeah,
so like the three of them, that's why the three of them are like the thing. But like, yeah, they are friends. Even if they don't want to admit it. But I love the fact that they do. I did like that dynamic that Clark Kent is so, and Superman is so vanilla, and but Batman is so dark and so much more, you know, like, but that's kind of the crux of the whole issue. It's like, why are you, how can you marry this guy who's so Batman? You know, he's so morose and he's so.
And I think that's even why I give this a pretty high A for, like, it was a good issue to read. It made you think of a lot of things that, like, almost like maybe Tom King's like he's too advanced for me, and like I need to like let it sink in a little bit.
Oh, maybe.
You
I mean,
know?
It is
just there's like problem. A lot. There's just so much stuff that you know, like their relationship and like how, you know, like how Clark and Bruce interact, which I always loved, you know, like those.
Yeah, there's no other, so there's nothing in comics like it, really. I don't think there's nothing that's like Superman and Batman, because they are so different. And yeah, there's nothing in, that's, I like it too. So yeah,
but
I'm anxious to see where it goes. You're right. It is a stunt thing. It's all, that's all everything is. But
and who knows, like he might be such a great writer that he does something that completely convinces me in a few issues that I, or maybe there's something that's been going on along, like this past 10 issues or whatever, that I just haven't been picking up on. You know, that's, there's something that I think I'm not missing. There's something I'm missing.
I don't know about that, but you know, you have something you want to see some things in your comics, and that, you know, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. It's,
I just want a little bit more. I want there to be a little bit more balls to, like, having Catwoman. Like, I just want her to be a little bit more badass.
That makes sense. If she's going to be in it, she shouldn't be this, like, doughy-eyed little, like, oh, I just love Batman. You know what I mean? You want to see her being sultry and everything and whatever.
Yeah. Tittle. All right.
Titillating. Oh, that's a good one. Speaking of a high A Batman book, did you read White Knight?
That I did.
Oh, see, now that to me, this is a high A to
this
me.
This is where, this is where the rubber hits the road.
This is high A Batman storytelling. Not even just Batman, but just, well, I guess it's Batman, but I mean, you know, it's Gotham, it's everybody.
And it's your boy, the Joker.
Yeah, well, it's
Jack,
I like this.
Sorry, Jack Napier.
Jack Napier, he has renounced the Joker.
Yes.
But some great thing. I mean, like, so, and now he's running for city council. And it's, I think it's very much capturing the, you know, like, what's going on in the world now. You know,
I almost wish this was the regular Batman book, because it could totally be, I think it's like an Elseworlds kind of in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's more Elseworlds than not. Like, it's not in regular, like, Rebirth continuity.
Right.
But this is, like, these are really the kind of comics I love. Like, this is great. Sean Murphy's art is...
This is a rare...
Blows me away. It's incredible.
This is... Yeah, it is. It's really well done. It's really well done. Everything about this is... This is every issue. We've talked about every issue, I think, because I really always want to talk about them every time we do a podcast. But, like, this is really great storytelling. Like, it's got a Trump kind of feel. Like, how can this scumbag be winning, you know, like, people over? And he, you know, it's kind of like a, because he's, I mean, but is he a scumbag anymore? That's a whole other thing, you know, like.
They do a lot of this kind of, I mean, speaking in very vague terms, but they do a lot of these kind of, like, twisting around the Batman myths and stuff on Gotham, the TV show, which I was catching up with over the break too. And they even did, like, a story where sorry.
Oh my god.
Where this guy Jerome, who's their, they call him the proto Joker, like, somebody cuts his face off, and they do, like, you know, they go back to, like, the Joker's face getting cut off, the Scott Snyder thing, and, like, they just take the same thing Sean Murphy's doing. It's like, okay, I'm gonna take this little piece of Batman, I'm gonna turn it around, and I'm gonna put it over here, and then I'm gonna do this. It's just so cool.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Well, so as we've talked about, so, like, Jack Napier, and there's the original Harley Quinn, who is, like, reformed, but now they're like both kind of, like, good guys now.
That was, like, the most brilliant thing he did was say, there's actually two. Oh, by the way, there's actually two Harleys. The one you know from, you know, the very first one, and then this Suicide Squad one, you know.
Right.
That was brilliant.
That is brilliant, because she was, there really was a turn, you know, in her character where she, you know, and this happens a lot in, it's happened to the Joker too, but I mean, I think it's a great way to, like, show it, or, like, make it, almost explain it, like, because, like, yeah, there was, like, this kind of goofy, silly person, you know, who's like, oh, Mr. J, blah, blah, and then there was, like, yeah, Suicide Squad, like, video game Harley Quinn.
Yeah, which I'm fine with both of them. Like,
yeah, absolutely, it's fine. I have no, I'm not saying one thing, but
I'm an old school guy, so I say, oh, my Harley's, you know, the Mr. J one from the animated series, but I don't mind the Margot Robbie one. Like,
no, I don't either.
I really like the video game one too. You know, like, that's fine. Yeah.
No, I'm fine with either of them. I think Sean Murphy did a brilliant thing here to sort of explain the two Harleys by actually making it two Harleys.
It's so good.
And then we have sort of her origin story in this one, the second Harley. Is she just worked in the bank that he was robbing, and then she just kind of, like, followed him along.
Yeah.
He didn't even notice that there was another, that she wasn't Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Because the Joker is so messed up
Right.
She's like, I just dressed as Harley Quinn. But now she is what they call the Neo Joker, and she is trying to pull the Joker out of, you know, Jack Napier.
Right.
Be like, you're not, you, this, I can, you know, you're, he's in there. So it's very, very interesting. But meanwhile, he's like, no, I've gone straight. I'm going to run for city council. And he, but there's, you're right. There's a whole other thing going on here where like, he's getting like the support of the people, you know, like the.
Yeah. And Batman is like, you know, Batman is, they always kind of have like Batman, like be like, people don't, are scared of him, or like they don't like him, or they're against him. But like now, like the will of the people is like against Batman.
Yeah, and they're against like the cops, and they're against like, you know what I mean? Because he goes to this back court, is the name of the area. I don't know if there's ever been, this is ever mentioned actually in Batman.
And like Gordon's like pissed at Batman too.
Right. Because he's like, wait a minute, he's starting to think that he's right too, because this Gotham, what is it, the Batman Terrorist Fund, or whatever the heck they call it, or the Batman Destruction Fund, or something like that, right? Which is like billions of dollars that go towards rebuilding things after Batman gets in a fight and blows everything up.
That the taxpayers are paying for. And right. It's like, is it really, you know, at the end of the day, the balance sheet, is it, are you saving us any money by stopping these criminals? Yeah, is
it worth having Batman around if we have to pay all this money to fix the stuff that he breaks? So the Joker says, I propose we take that money and put it towards the Gotham City Police Department, towards like this
like a thing, task
and
force.
We bring in Batman and all his, you know, family, and we use his tech. You know what I mean? Like, why have one Batmobile patrolling the city? Why don't we just have a whole fleet of Batmobiles? Why doesn't every cop have a utility belt with all the stuff on it? You know, like, why doesn't every cop have his Kevlar armor? You know, like, why are we spending this money to fix his mistakes? We should be spending the money so that this shit doesn't happen in the first place. And yeah, and Commissioner Gordon's starting to be like, you know, you're not, you know, it's not a bad idea.
First of all, this is going to go down in history as like, such a classic, like Dark Knight Returns style, you know, hush, like this all collected. I hope it sells like a million copies because it is so good.
Yeah, I hope so too. It really is. It's one of those things, yeah, that makes you think.
I don't know
about,
if people
like,
are talking about it as much as like we are, but I hope they are.
I don't know either. You're right. We've been talking about it for months.
And, I mean, it's
people
great.
People are tired of it.
You know, like killer dialogue and moments, like, you know, Gordon's like, isn't this the part where you magically disappear? Like, getting it, right. You know, yelling at Batman. He's like, hey, let me save you the trouble. Then Gordon walks away.
Yeah.
He just flips like, it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it really is turning everything on its ear.
Oh,
it's, and not in like a goofy comic booky way. Like, this is a very serious, like,
it's not like, imagine if the Joker was Batman. It's right. Like, it's like, really, like, it's really well thought out. Like, this could be the next Batman movie, you know? Like, it's so
cool. Yeah, that would be cool, actually.
That actually would be really, really
cool. I would totally be first in line to see that.
Because then you don't have to do any origin. You don't have to do anything. You recast it. You do whatever, you know? And
you can have Ben Affleck in it. I don't care.
Oh yeah. But
whatever, right. You don't have to do the whole thing. You play it up as Batman's been around a while and people are starting to get a little tired of it.
I think actually... As much as I like Suicide Squad, I think you'd probably want to recast Joker. To have it be somebody a little bit classier, like of an actor, you know, like a little bit more thin, you know, like somebody that looks like the Scott Snyder tuxedo Joker. Like,
right.
I want to see somebody like that be the Joker.
Well, I think one of the cool things about having him be Jack Napier is because that was the Jack Nicholson character from the Tim Burton
Wing Freak movie. Terrorizes
right.
Well, I get all over me.
I mean, and he had his moment. Obviously, he was obviously crazy, and he did the whoo-hoo-ha, you know, kind of thing. But he also had that sort of gangster kind of like, you know, he would wear the suit, and he would, you know, like, yeah.
Is it? I always forget. Is it Nicholson Joker, or is it the Heath Ledger Joker that wipes away the makeup and there's white underneath?
That was the Nicholson. There wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that was that blew my mind when I saw it first, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was definitely Heath Ledger's makeup was always kind of falling off. It was
never really very bright.
It was really funny. Like, it was always a mess.
I mean, it's like, I almost want to recommend like Gotham to you, but you'd have to watch like so many episodes. You'd have to watch like hours and hours of TV. But there's some cool Joker things, and this guy Jerome, he has like kind of a Heath Ledger-y kind of makeup. And he does a little bit of a Heath Ledger voice, and it's cool. It's really awesome. And he took the face after they cut it off. He put it back on his face, and he staple gunned it to his own face.
Oh man! Well, that's pretty much what it looks like they did in the comic when they did the Death of the Family.
Like, they just took that stuff. They took Court Owls. They take anything that like Scott Snyder did. Like, they've incorporated it to the Gotham show already. You know, like
very good.
It's very well.
Maybe I will watch it. I started it, and then I kind of.
It's a lot. If you're gonna get to like season four, but it gets more and more ridiculous as the days go by, and it's like, wow, please don't stop, please keep stapling that thing to your face. Like, this is the best.
All right, I'll check it out.
Go on YouTube and like watch like best Jerome moments from Gotham, and you'll probably see like everything I'm telling you about.
All right, it's good to know. Well, definitely check out Batman White Knight.
Oh, and what's going on with Nightwing and Batgirl? Like, they're like pissed at Bruce for some reason. I couldn't figure out why.
Well, there was stuff in the previous issues where, you know, like there was some kind of like, I think because there was stuff he wasn't telling them about this whole like Gotham Devastation Fund and all this stuff. There was stuff he was keeping secrets and whatever. So, but now they're kind of like, well, I forget. Is it? I think what's her name? Batgirl is kind of like, no, we'll never go with you. You know, Joker.
Yeah.
And
right.
Nightwing's like, makes sense to give the cops all these weapons. Why do we hoard them?
You know? Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic. They've got a lot of different things. Everybody has their own little opinion and story and reason for it. And it's great. But they, you know, like, because it all makes sense. None of it is, like I said, like it's this outlandish kind of like.
No, it's not. It could slip right into, if they're doing Batman right, it could slip right into, this is just Detective Comics for this run. You know, like right. That's maybe where they should have done this story.
Yeah, I kind of wish. Maybe they wish too.
Yeah, maybe I bet Sean Murphy wishes it was. I don't know. I'm willing to bet a creator would rather have something be in the actual book than a special series. Like, because Detective Comics, like, people are already going to buy it. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, why? We shouldn't have to, like, be trying to pitch this. Like, go out and get this extra Batman thing. You know? Like, just.
Yeah. Well, they probably want to make money. I mean, I suppose you have more leeway just doing this.
Yeah,
you know.
But there's another thing that drives me crazy about DC. Why don't they just call it Elseworlds? People would be super psyched.
Yeah, I don't
probably
know.
Sell more.
They've
books.
Drop that entirely. It's kind of like, so like the original Old Man Logan storyline was just four issues of Wolverine, or six issues, whatever it was, of the Wolverine comic book. It wasn't
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why they can't just do that and just have it be.
Yeah, they're stupid. They don't listen to us.
So the one final thing I do want to talk about before we at the end of this book here, you find out they do some research. They Harley Quinn, the new Harley Quinn, which is now Neo Joker, I guess she calls herself, stole some computer files and all this stuff, and then she finds these pictures of like Nazi sympathizers or whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
they were not
this little dude. Is he like, is that like the Mad Hatter or something?
Yeah, that's Mad Hatter.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's got all the rogues working for her. Like, well, at least
that's right. Yeah, and then
what's his name? Killer Croc, and you know,
because everybody ate like a piece of Clayface or something.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Okay, I was like, am I reading, how many Batman stories am I reading? Like, I was getting.
I know it's hard to keep them all straight. Yeah, no, that's Mad Hatter. So, anyways, like they do this, but they find out that like Thomas and Martha Wayne were backing these crazy, like, you know.
Yes, yes.
Baron von Freeze, who is Mr. Freeze's, like, whatever, like, that's
right. So it's his all grandfather,
like,
or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like
his dad.
His dad or whatever. Yeah. So they're all, like, related, but, like, yeah. So, like, the Waynes were, like, in it. So, like, they were kind of bad too.
Oh, and that reminds me too. You like to play video games. I'm not, like, a huge video game person, but I was like, I'm gonna do some video gaming over my vacation.
Oh, very good.
And I was like, what am I gonna get? So I got the Telltale games, Batman.
Oh, is that any?
It's the perfect video game for me because I'm not a gamer. Like, it's like I'm making my own story, and it's not that hard, I guess. And I feel like I'm making, like, a movie, or I'm making like a comic book by, like, having Bruce do certain things in a certain way. And they also, like, you know, are like, oh, like, you know, like, way back in the day, the Waynes and the Falcones are, you know, tied in together. They were like, maybe Thomas Wayne was bad, you know, kind of thing.
Interesting. You know what? Like, I bought that game and I actually just returned it. Like, I was like, I don't know if I, cause, like, my internet or my thing wasn't, like, fast enough to handle it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is it quality wise, or do you have any problems?
Oh, I love that. I love like cool artwork.
Cause I got, now I have the Xbox One. That was with the 360. So I think probably be better now. But
oh, I think so too. Yeah. I mean, it took a while. It was only 5 gigs, but it took, like, forever for it to download for some reason.
Oh, they all do that. Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I just bought like the first chapter because it was, like, on sale. It cost me $5. And I've been playing it for like 3 hours without having to download another episode yet. So nice. I finished the first episode. I have to download the next one, but I really like it because, especially for me, like I said, like, I don't play video games. So it's like, you know, I was playing the, what's the last one? Arkham Knight.
I get to
a point where it's like, well, I don't know how to get the Batmobile over to that section. So I guess I'm just stuck now, and then I just put it away and forget. Like, I get stuck and I don't do anything with it.
Yeah, I'm that way too with some of these games. I like games that are just like that Star Wars Battlefront, where you don't have to go through a thing and get stuck on something. You just run around killing people.
Oh, Stacy said the game mode in Battlefront 2 is great.
I want to buy that one.
It's actually, like,
I was kind of hoping I would
play
it
against
Christmas.
Other people. You just play it, you know, play it through. Like, there's missions.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
She says just, very good, very well.
I was just holding off because I was wondering if it was on my Amazon wish list. I thought maybe my brother would, like, grab it for me. He didn't.
Yeah, well, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
I can buy it myself like a chump. You know what's funny is I had read reviews, though, and everybody was like, well, this game sucks. Why do you have to? And, like, if people are all complaining on Reddit. You remember that day? It's like, you have to pay extra to be Darth Vader.
But then they made it away. They took that away.
Yeah, they took it away. But, like, gaming people are so, we know comic book people, or they complain about stuff and whatever.
I know.
But, like,
listen to me and my fucking Catwoman over here. You know what I mean? It's like,
I know, but gaming people, I feel like, are way, I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to comic book people, but these gamers, man, when they review something, they are not kind. There's no wins. There's, like, no wins in their column. It's like,
yeah.
So,
and if those guys
know.
Ever had to, like, develop a game or,
yeah, right,
or sit in a writer's room and come up with a story or, like, they would have nothing to say.
They just sit in front of their computer, their Xbox,
yeah,
or whatever, with cheese doing, like, dust all over their face.
Or if they had to design a model of an orc or something, they would, like, come up with the shittiest thing. They just were like, you know what I mean? At least I know that. I'm trying to make comics. I'm just trying.
All right. I mean, no, I'm not saying, like, oh my God, you were a bad writer or something. I guess sometimes I do. I'm like, yeah, the dialogue, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The art doesn't do it for me. But, like,
we don't even really talk about stuff that we don't like without some sort of critical sort of thing. You know, like, this could be a little bit better or something.
I don't know.
Or yeah, I like the story, didn't like the art, whatever.
That's always my, it's like, it doesn't do it for me. Obviously, like, a lot of people liked Last Jedi, and I just, it just didn't do it for me.
All right.
And these are the reasons why.
I don't want to talk about The Last Jedi or Justice League.
Okay, I still haven't seen it. So.
But I don't know how. Okay, replace Justice League. For what I'm going to say, replace Justice League in your mind with Batman vs. Superman or Wonder Woman or Man of Steel. Any of the DC movies. Just pick one. Okay. Pick your favorite one. If you can. Just pick your favorite one.
All right, Wonder Woman was my favorite one.
Wonder Woman, okay.
Yeah.
I was watching Dark Knight Rises. And this might be a little unfair to Wonder Woman.
Okay.
And you know that I love Justice League. I've saw it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
How do you get from... It's Dark Knight Rises wasn't perfect. But I like that one just as much as I like the Dark Knight. Dark Knight definitely is the best of the three.
Yeah.
But how do you get from there to your favorite DC movie? How do you get from the quality of Bane and Christopher Nolan directing it and all these cool Easter eggs about breaking Batman's back and like really cool cinematography, Christopher fucking Nolan, to what we get now?
I think
it's a big jump.
Your question. I mean, Christopher Nolan is like
he's one of the
best directors working right now.
He's a Scorsese, Tarantino, Nolan. They're all, you know, they're in the pantheon of gods.
I think so. In my mind, Christopher Nolan is about as good as it gets. Like, you know,
he's so good that he's like almost Kubrick level good.
I agree. He's all like.
Did you see Dunkirk?
I did. I loved Dunkirk.
I wish I'd seen that in the movie theater, but I loved it.
Oh my god, we saw it in 70mm. Like,
I should have. I really regret that.
It's amazing.
I don't know how you get from there to a movie that I enjoyed, Justice League. If that's the most recent one and it's great. I don't know how you get from Dark Knight Rises to Justice League.
The idea that like they're even the same.
It's insane.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's insane to me. And okay, like Wonder Woman was, you know, that was a good movie. It was like Captain America First Avenger.
Yeah. To me. It was.
You know?
It was basically the same.
But how do you get from How do you go from this beautifully shot fucking crazy thing? You got Heath Ledger, the second one, you know,
right,
without a doubt.
Oscar
winner. One of the best performances ever in a movie, ever.
Sure.
Dark Knight Rises, this long epic thing referencing, you know, like No Man's Land and all these.
It was really about like the you know, the Wall Street.
Occupy, you know, Wall Street.
Occupy Wall Street, yeah.
And, you know, like the terror of the Brit. You felt like you lived in Gotham and you were like scared to be there, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
and you know, again, I know he didn't get the same kind of acclaim that Heath Ledger did, but Tom Hardy was pretty awesome.
Oh,
people complained about the voice and everything, but like,
there was nothing to complain really about good. That. He was the best.
Tom Hardy is a really good actor. He's another one.
Like, and Dunkirk, he has like a thing over his face too. It's weird.
I know. It's kind of funny. But, like, you know, I mean, at least I know who he is now. And I don't care what I know, The Revenant and everybody. He steals that movie.
Oh, yeah. Revenant was great, too.
Give me a break. Like, Leonardo wins the Academy Award. I mean, he was good, but, like, Tom Hardy is amazing.
There was no story. There was nothing happening in that movie except for the performances, in my
right. opinion. No, there's no real story.
It's fine. It was, like, it was an easy watch in that way.
I think because I love Tom Hardy. Like, I wanted to.
I love him too. He's so great.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, okay. Same thing for. I was going to say something about The Last Jedi too.
No, go ahead.
Which is. I still like the movie. My ranking stays the same. I saw it a second time the other day. And I want to watch the big IMAX version, you know? The big mm-hmm. one.
Sure.
And, you know, I get what people are saying about it. And I don't know. There's some things in that movie that that just don't exactly sync up for me, but I hope they'll sync up in the third movie.
Oh, well, maybe you're right. You know what the thing is with that movie, though? And I feel like, I think this is what you're saying. I think this is what you're getting at. Like, our idea of quality or whatever you want to, you know what I mean? Like, somehow we go from like thinking something is really great and then like something comes out, you know, like, and you're like, oh, this is great. It's like, but it is it as great as the last, you know, like it's Empire. This is, there's no way that this is Empire Strikes Back, obviously, right. But like, how do we even put them in the same thing? Like, this is great and that is great. Like, has our attention span or whatever you want to call it, just as our level of what we think is great fallen?
Does
so
it have
much?
To be that great? Like, yeah, that, like, you know, I mean, a friend of mine has gone to see this movie 20 times. No.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to see it as many times as I've seen Empire, obviously, but like, I wouldn't even want to go there. Like, I wouldn't even like,
but then, okay. Yeah. Like, let's say that, let's give Han Solo the benefit of the doubt that it's going to be as good as Rogue One. Let's just put it there for a second. Let's just say it's going to be that good, right? When we were like, when Han had a throwaway line that George Lucas like wrote about making the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Yeah.
That doesn't need to be a fucking movie. It was more cool that it wasn't.
Yeah, it was just this legend.
You know what I mean? Like the Rogue Ones, how they came up with the story with the line from the scroll and everything, like that's cool. But to just like, I don't know, like.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, we'll have to see what they do. I'll say this. Okay, here's a counterpoint. So in Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan, right? They make a reference to Kirk cheating on the Kobayashi Maru, right?
Yes.
So when they redid Star Trek, J.J. Abrams, he had that in the movie. I thought that was funny. I thought I liked that part.
That was cool.
But it wasn't the whole movie.
Right.
You know, it was a part of the movie showing how Kirk cheated on the test. But then, that was... So you're saying the Han Solo movie is the Kessel Run? Is that what... Well, I haven't read that yet. But.
It could be.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, right. That could be part of it.
Well, I think you're right, and like, that's in a way why some of these little, like the Han Solo miniseries that they did, like in comics, and the Lando and the Chewie, and all these little,
and if it's going to be anything
stories,
like that,
they're not that good, you know.
If it's going to be anything like that, I don't want it.
Yeah, I know. Like something about Star Wars, you need the whole thing,
right?
You know, you need the whole story.
I don't think that Rey's parents were what Kylo Ren told her. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong. I think there's more to Snoke. Maybe I'm wrong, but I want to have that like little bit of, you know, excuse the pun, but hope that there's more to it than that. And I want to have the hope that like they're not just like just cramming this shit together, like making the Han Solo movie like the Kessel Run.
Well, maybe they, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see.
And then have that be like the, when Leia turns around at the end of Rogue One and be like, I guess we made it in. And then turns to the camera and goes, 12 parsecs. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't want that. But I'm scared now. I'm scared I'm going to get that.
I'm scared. I'm a little scared too. I was scared. I was a little scared. I like Ron Howard. But, you know, like we said, movies that have several directors don't always end up, you know, like sometimes they end up a little choppy. But now after seeing Last Jedi, I'm even more scared about Han Solo.
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean, yeah. I'm going to go see it.
Yeah, you will. You will.
I will. I will. I'm sure there'll be some parts that are, I don't know. Who knows?
Well, as much as, I just want to let you know, as much as I love Justice League, and I still stand by everything I said about it, I still want to see it again in the theater because it was like a comic book to me. It was just like a fun, this is fun. Look at these four characters interacting on the screen.
Five.
Six.
Well, how,
but
I mean,
not seven. Six, but not seven.
Superman? I mean, I don't know.
Anyways.
I know what you're saying. Well, no, and you know what?
But
here's
how
something
get...
that I don't know if you read my latest thing, or because I was talking about movies for a casual audience, right?
Yeah.
Or the casual moviegoer. And I realize I am not that. So,
no,
I've,
you're not.
You should see Justice League a million times if you want, and I don't. I mean, I don't care. I think you should. I'll be happy for
but
you.
I'll
I'm
also
glad
watch,
to hear it.
But I'll also watch Dark Knight Rises and Dark Knight, and even Batman Begins. I'll watch the trilogy. I'll watch those as art and almost forget that they're Batman movies, you know? Like,
yeah, that's the thing about those movies to me. That's always been the way. It's not just like, oh, this is my favorite superhero movie. Like, this is my favorite movie. I don't even really consider that when you talk about, like, list off all your favorite comic book movies. If someone asked me that, I don't think my first thing would be like The Dark Knight, because I don't really think of it like that, you know? I mean, it is.
Yeah.
But it's not like, well, Captain America or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
and Tim Burton's Batman is also art, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a pop art, and it's of a different aesthetic, but it's a piece of art. Like, I don't think that as much as I like Joss Whedon, I don't think that the Avengers movie is an art piece.
No, it's like
think that the Justice League movie is an art piece, and that's fine.
No, I mean, like, I wouldn't either. I would consider them like pizza.
<laughs> You know? Yeah.
Like, I really like pizza. I do. I love pizza.
You do love pizza.
But I don't consider that like, oh, I'm going to go out and get a nice meal tonight. You know, and have like a scotch and
yeah, right. That's exactly it. Like, going to a Christopher Nolan movie is like going out by yourself and ordering a nice steak and like having a scotch with
yeah,
and just that's... enjoying the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah,
yeah, and there's nothing wrong with pizza. Believe me,
no, there's nothing wrong with pizza. But how do you get from a Rembrandt to I was mixing the metaphors there. Like,
right.
How do you get from
like art?
How do you get from like a porterhouse steak from the stockyard to pizza in such in like relatively few movies from Man of Steel, you know, Batman, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad to like now it's like. Now it's not even pizza, it's fucking Papa John's.
Yeah, it's like a frozen, you know, Totino's pizza roll.
It's so weird, I don't even understand. And I love
it. You're right, it's when you start getting people who don't care about the art and they just care about the money and like they gotta get this shit out there. And you know what I mean? Like it's the same thing as like a Rembrandt or like a hotel, you know, like a hotel room painting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not. There's just the quality has dropped.
And I didn't think about that until I saw Dunkirk and then wanted to watch Dark Knight Rises, which I'm like watching again. And I was like, this is fucking so good. You know?
Yeah. It's really
there's a little bit of that to the new Star Wars movies, too, is kind of what I'm saying. Like there's
yeah, I can see that.
A little bit of pizza there.
You know? But I mean like it's not really that. I mean Rogue One was a really well made, I wouldn't call it art I guess, but I mean it was a really well made movie. It's a good story and yeah, like,
and why the fuck didn't they give Gareth Edwards the next trilogy? Why do they have to give it to Rian Johnson? You know, like,
know.
Give it to that guy.
I don't know.
Not that I don't have much beef with The Last Jedi, but like, but why not? Gareth Edwards obviously has a vision for Star Wars 2. That worked. Vader's hallway.
He didn't sell himself or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
he
you never
pull
know.
Any punches. And they reshot stuff and they fucking made it good, you know?
They did. They reshot a lot of stuff. But I don't know.
No.
It's weird. I mean, it's interesting. You could have this debate with anything. I was thinking about this. I don't know how long we're going to make this podcast, but that's okay.
It's an extra long one because we've been away.
So, like, I was having this conversation the other day with some, because one of my complaints about The Last Jedi, of course, was that it's too long. And I was talking about Lord of the Rings, right, with somebody, and I was like, I think I complained about those movies being too long, but they were barely, you know what I mean? Like, back then, they were ridiculously long. Like, I felt like those movies never, ever, ever ended.
Right.
But I think compared to the every movie that comes out now, they were like a brisk walk in the park.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I still haven't seen the Hobbit movies.
I saw the first one and I never, whatever.
I don't know if you can go back home to those movies because they're so long.
Exactly.
You
know,
there's
people
in,
who watch like, you know, like they watch marathons of them and stuff. I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa.
And now it's getting like impossible with like Marvel or Star Wars movies. It's like, you got to start that like a week ahead.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like, all
right. I mean, so I know it's Lord of the Rings is 3 hours and 48 minutes, which is still an hour longer than Last Jedi.
So times three. and then times two.
So, I know. You got to wear a diaper to that fucking thing. But
I wouldn't go out of the house to watch
those. No, I know. But some people do. I mean, but whatever. But I don't know. Compared to, like, the pace of the movies now, I think there's just something about, like, at least those movies, there was a progression. The story moved. But with some of these movies, it's like, oh, my God.
Did you also think Blade Runner was too long? Did you watch that?
I did. Yeah, I did think
Blade Runner. I could see that, but I feel like that was on purpose. I don't know.
Like, no, absolutely. No, I mean, it's all on purpose. But
like to the aesthetic of the original movie and stuff, you know, it's like...
Blade Runner was only 2 hours and 44 minutes.
Yeah, but still, it's...
Which is about as long as Last Jedi, but it didn't... I don't know.
West Street.
You know, when you have a movie... Dunkirk is really long, too.
It was.
But, like, I don't know how long it was. But, I mean, you know, it's just when you pace it. It's just the pacing of these movies.
I feel like... No, you know what I was watching... Dark Knight Rises is like super long too. It's kind of a long movie.
And Dunkirk is only 2 hours. All right, all I'm saying is I feel like movies are getting longer, but like they're needlessly longer. There's no reason for that.
Yeah,
it's been, to be that long.
No, I know that's your major beef.
That's my beef. They could cut things out and still make.
Hopefully, the story. 2018. There's going to be a movie that we see. It might not be Infinity War. It might not be Black Panther. But it might be a movie that you see and go, you know what I really liked about that movie? It was the exact length that I wanted it to be. You might not even like the movie.
I'm You're just trying gonna, to think. There
you
was
know, like the X-Factor movie or whatever it is. It's coming out. What's that one, like the horror movie?
The New Mutants?
New Mutunes.
Yeah.
I just want you to come, and like, whether you like the movie or not, be like, that was exactly an hour and 48 minutes, and that was all I needed.
I'm wondering, there must have been a movie. I feel like there's a movie I saw recently that was like that, where I said, that, at least I didn't, that didn't bother me. You
know? Yeah. I want that. I want more of that for you in 2018. I'm imposing a New Year's resolution on you,
which is
to go see a movie.
Movie that is not too long.
Regardless of how you feel, how you rate the movie or how many sins or wins it has, to say, that was exactly the right amount of movie. That's a very... very Seinfeld thing. That was exactly the right length of time. I was able to get dinner, and then I was home in a reasonable time.
Well, it's just because I was taught, as a, you know, in all my screenwriting classes and all my filmmaking classes, you can't make a movie, you know, too long, or nobody will care. If you write a screenplay over like 100 pages, no one's going to read it, and blah, you know, all this stuff. Yeah. And obviously that aesthetic has changed, but it's hard for me to get past.
And that's 100 minutes.
It's like 100 minutes.
An hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. And if it's a comedy, it better not be more than 90 pages.
Right.
But, you know, obviously times have changed. That was 20 years ago. So, yeah, what an old fuck I am.
We're getting into our, speaking of which, we're getting into our 100th minute of podcasting here.
I think we can wrap this
shit up. We should wrap it up. Thanks.
That was great, Clay.
Thanks to you. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
And we'll thanks. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy what do they call this? The feast of the it's some holy day. Well, yesterday I guess it was, right?
The feast of 1,000 Batman stories.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
And we'll be back with more exciting stuff this year. We'll have some curb casts. We'll have some special guests. We'll go to our Patreon, patreon.com/curbcast. That's the league in general, but, you know, specifically for our Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast.
Yeah,
got some special stuff coming up there. And also, where should people go to buy your comic book?
Oh, my God. They can go to robinhoodcomicbook.com, or they can go to Comixology if they just want to download one. Mm. And then go to Amazon. They can go, various places.
Robin Hood, Indie, Outlaw of the
21st. IndiePlanet.
Yes.
.com. But yeah, just search for Robin Hood, Outlaw of the 21st Century. You'll find that.
That's little good stuff. Or just search for Durson. It's the only
thing. Then you'll get my brother's book, maybe, too.
Yeah, that's right. Buy all the Durson books you find. Even if it's like not related. It's whatever.
It's supposedly very good. I haven't read it yet.
Very well.
All right.
I'm balls deep into this Fire and Fury audiobook. Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Don't even talk about that. But yeah, I'm like listening to books now. It's changing my world. I love it.
Cool. All
right. Be more literate. That's what I'm going to do this year.
I want to read more books this year, too.
Yeah.
Like books. Without pictures.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks, Clay.
Okay.
Okay.
See you at the club. One more deep and dark December. One more bird on its way. One more bird on its way. One more. You are a recycling nut.